sick of listening to your shit. Shut the fuck up.
If you're a heckler, shut up. If you're a hater, shut up. If you ain't holding the mic, then shut the fuck up. Fuck boy, shut up. Fake friends, shut up. If you ain't about growth, then shut the fuck up. Negrophobia, shut up. All lives matter, shut up. White man with a forked tongue, shut the fuck up. Victim blamer, shut up. Uncaring, shut up. If you're worthy to our benefit, shut the fuck up. Liar, liar, shut up. Wolf crier, shut up. When grown folks are talking young and shut the fuck up. You a traitor, shut up. Manipulator, shut up. Real friends, though the time to shut the fuck up. Wrong preacher, shut up. Wicked preacher, shut up. If you ain't got any answers, hey, shut the fuck up. Interrupter, shut up. Obstructor, shut up. If you ain't holding the peace pipe, shut the fuck up. Hey, hey, hey. 2021.
Hey, shut the fuck up.
That's what's up.
You cannot talk.
Là, on est rendu à épisode 206. So I ask myself, who am I? That's the way my mind was poisoned to believe that in America, blacks are inferior. A weak mind and a body of swine only adds up to being deaf, dumb, and blind. Illiterate to who, where, what, and why. So I ask myself, who am I?
Message!
Welcome et bienvenue à un autre épisode of Shut Up Podcast. I am your host, B Black, a.k.a. Mr. ShutUpPodcast.com, a.k.a. Le Grand Papa B, a.k.a. Gaston Lebanon. Before I continue with the show, I need to inform for some and remind for others that this podcast is a safe space for my thoughts. Therefore, it's protected by the red, the black, and the green. With the
red, black,
and the red, blue.
Who's your blues up in this bitch?
I represent and hold it down for black folks who grew up watching TV Ontario, Télé-Québec, and black folks who say yes to Big Rube's question,
are you an outcast?
This episode is being recorded on unceded Anishinaabe Algonquin territory on September 26, 2024, 7:58 p.m. Not that late. This episode is also brought to you by the letter F. F for Fuck Whitey. Fuck Whitey as a staff, record label, and as a motherfucking crew. And if you want to be down with Whitey, then fuck you too. All right. What's up, Niggertrons? How y'all doing? Okay. As always, continue with this new tradition. I would like to send greetings and salutations to all you returning guests. And by guests, I actually mean listeners. And for you new listeners, welcome to the House of Be Black. And you also get a greeting and salutation from my part. Yay! We're happy to have you. Happy to have you. All right. Okay. Okay. Just to help you new folks get familiarized with this podcast on how I do things, I gotta let you know that I break down my episodes into three parts. Parts that I prefer that I call acts because chicks dig it. And the first act is the intro. Second act is news and random thoughts. And the final act is reserved for final thoughts. Now, so far in the intro, in the first act, what you've heard is the theme song, the theme song through the podcast, followed by me telling you the title of today's episode. Then after that is some poetry, which both the poetry and the title will all relate to what I'll be talking about in the final thoughts. And everything after that is greeting and salutations and all that mess. You know what I mean? Yeah, greeting and salutation and disclaimer, mainly for white people. You know what I mean? I mean, not just for white people, but it's mainly for white people. All right, okay. And yeah, and that's about it. Now, another thing I like to do in the intro, just to, you know, like warm things up. Hold on a second. Wait, what's going on with the volume? Okay, please, I'm gonna start a donation drive for a new soundboard. But yeah, I like to do in the intro is share some quotes. And the first quote is, I stole this off TikTok. I'm not reading this one. I will allow Eva Ifayemi, content creator Ifayemi, to say it herself, because there's no way I can say it any better.
The people who have no problem making you uncomfortable ought to have no business feeling comfortable around you.
Did you hear what she said? The people, okay, I'm paraphrasing. The people who make you feel uncomfortable should have no goddamn business feel uncomfortable around you. It's not your job. You know what? I'm not going to preach. I didn't come here to preach. But you get the picture. Second quote is, it's a quote about self-compassion. And it goes, shame says, stop taking up space. Stop being so loud. You're too much. Self-compassion says, it's okay to take up space and use your voice, even if other people don't like it. You don't have to stay silent anymore. Yeah, that was badass. Okay, I enjoyed that one. All right, okay. So let's wrap this up, man. This concludes the intro. Let's jump to the second act. And have an amazing show. All right? Okay, let's do this. For those of you public speaking or who are involved in public speaking, but I've noticed that I'm slightly getting better at taking some time to reflect on what I want to say before saying it. And if I could just stop now, the challenge is to stop using and thinking. But I didn't say I'm an expert at it. I'm saying I'm getting better at it. All right, okay. Random thought. Okay, well, actually, you know, this is a... I'm going to tell you a quick story, a brief story, and then I'll explain the context, right? There was a time I was in... I used to live in Oakland, California, the birthplace of the Black Panthers and the old stomping ground of Tupac Shakur, may he rest in peace. And where was I? I was hanging out with a bunch of nerds. I was hanging out with these white kids. I didn't have any friends. sorry, sound like I'm making an excuse. Well, I'm hanging out with white kids, though. I lived in the Bay Area, and I think I was likely in San Francisco. It makes more sense. I was in San Francisco hanging out with these fellow computer nerds. I forget. So whatever, some conference related, whatever, right? And I honestly don't know how this came in conversation. I can't remember how this came in conversation, but the white guy beside me says, hey, what are you listening to? Again, I'm from Ottawa, right? And I'm used to, hold up. I'm from Ottawa. And what I was listening to was, I forget the song, but it was a song by The Coup, the rap group The Coup. And is it The Coup or The Coup? I'm sorry, Le Coup. Okay, The Coup. And it's the one where they're in front of the World Trade Center. I doesn't matter. I was listening to a song by The Coup. And I remember being hesitant about telling him who I was listening to, because The Coup is on that pro-black shit, right? And look, I'm from Ottawa. I'm used to being around fragile white people who, if I say The Coup, oh yeah, what's that about? You know, oh, well, you know, the political movement, the black awareness. Oh, what's it going to be, a rat race? You know, I'm going to get a huge-ass lecture about whatever. Anyways, I said, The Coup, whatever. Yo, this dude goes, yo, shit, I'm a fan too. Fuck, next thing you know, this is back in the days of he allowed me to acquire, I'm not going to go into detail, allegedly acquire more songs by the Kook. Turns out he's a huge fan of the Kook. He knew a lot about it. I don't know if it's because he's from Oakland, but this white dude knew a lot about it. You probably knew more about the Kook, and then he hooked me up with some songs by them. And the reason I'm telling you this story is when that disclaimer I have at the beginning, yes, it's a joke. There's humor in there combined with my experience with dealing with white, combined with how I've grown up in an environment of shrinking in white spaces, because the last thing as a black man you want to do is make a white person feel uncomfortable. So I was always quiet about things that mattered to me. And the disclaimer just me saying, no more cracker. Anyways, but it's a joke. But I use humor to do it, right? The fuck whitey part. Now, when I say it, I worry about the wrong white people, not just the ones I work with, hearing that shit while being oblivious, while never allowing myself to consider the possibility that the reality is there's a white person out there who understand it's a joke, will can connect to it, or will understand why I say what I need to say it. Like, it never occurred to me since, what is it, episode 206, right, about my 206th episode, that maybe a white person might appreciate the content on this podcast. Sorry, my eyes are drying up. So all this to say, another reason why I bring this up is because I was on Reddit, and someone was on one of the podcasting subreddit, and I answered a question. I forget, okay, whatever, it doesn't matter. But the person, I answered a question, the person liked my answer, said, yo, I'd be interested to hear your podcast. And I didn't respond to him because I was like, I don't know. What kind of white boy are you? You might not like this kind of shit. Anyway, the only thought is allowing myself to accept the reality that I actually don't know the kind of people who would appreciate or would enjoy this kind of podcast. And just, I'm going to quote Drake here in an interview. He said, yo, man, you, I'm surrendering that shit to the universe, and what happens, it happens. Qui sera, sera. So, yeah, I don't know. No, that's it. That's it. Nothing changed, but I just felt like articulating that thought out loud. And also being able to have an opportunity to plug the Kook. I haven't heard their latest stuff. I did see their movie. Well, I think one of the guys, he's, I forget, but he's got a movie. Sorry to Bother You. He was involved in that movie, but yeah, that's it. That's it. Oh, sorry. Okay. Woo. I don't know. I'm so thirsty. I'm going to have to take a break here. All right. Ho, you know what happened to me this week? Oh, I don't know if I mentioned this on the last episode already. But if I did, fucking, I'm saying it again. Yo, I recently discovered, you know, every once in a while, life, you know, I might bitch about life, but every once in a while, life will give you, I will take the time to smell the roses. Or my equivalent of smelling the roses is sometimes enjoying new content, a new song, a new TV show, like really, like taking the time to revel. Is that revel? Being in the moment and recognizing that I am living a good moment right now. So my smelling the roses is just enjoying new content. And I recently discovered Game of Thrones Redux. I think I may have mentioned it on last episode. Again, let me mention, but I know I discovered it on the weekend, and I finished it 10 episodes by yesterday. I finished them yesterday, and I enjoyed every single moment of it. So, it's fan fiction. That's what's so amazing. It's fan fiction. I'm like, wait, fans did this? I'm trying to imitate Chris Mostasanti. Chinks did this? Sorry. That racial slur was not necessary. Fans did this. So it's essentially, I guess, a bunch of fans. There's no details about it except for the name of the people, the voice actors. a bunch of fans came together, I guess, and wrote a script and then read out the script. Essentially, they remixed season 8 of Game of Thrones. Now, for those who aren't familiar, season 8 of Game of Thrones, by most of us, was a heavy disappointment. I'm not clear on the details, who fucked up, but whatever. But these fans took upon themselves to redo it. I guess it was this is how we think it should have ended. And their version was dope. Was amazing. I was shocked. It had my attention. I was captivated. Not just that I was captivated, but it reignited how much I enjoyed Game of Thrones. Yo, it was 8 years of my life. I gave 8 years of my life to Game of Thrones. Or was it longer? I was so into that show. And then season 8 happened. It was like, yes, I was going around telling everyone, like, season 8 was like, think of Game of Thrones as a relationship. On the 8th year, she cheated on me. It was a huge disappointment, and it was so bad that I couldn't get myself to look at the previous episodes, because season 8 just like killed it for me. Now, their version, I imagine there's a lot of other fan fiction fans who've done the same, but this one right here, Nicole, yeah, was dope. And season 1 was season 8 redone, I guess, remixed. And season 2 is about Robert's Rebellion. Anyway, whatever. Check it out. Links are in the show notes. And let me know what you think. The whole city is mine. Pretty is done. I don't like the way P. Diddy did shine with different lawyers. Why it's mentioned, it's my rhyme. Fuck it. I think that's the equivalent of it's my rhymes. Oh, why it's mentioned in my rhyme. Fuck it. It's just an intro. Hate it or love it. I like it. Bump it or dump it. Look, I was just looking for a way to introduce, to say that I will be talking about Puff Daddy, man. Puff Daddy's in the news. Yeah, man. In the immortal words of Tupac Shakur, fuck that nigga. Let that nigga go to jail. Yeah, there will be no sympathy for Sean P. Diddy Combs on this podcast. So I'm going to play this clip that I found, and it's called Allegedly. It's titled Allegedly.
Okay, I just want to process everything that's going on right now. You're telling me both political candidates have been to Diddy parties.
Check.
You're telling me Diddy paid $1 million to have Tupac unalived. Mm-hmm. Then he unalived Biggie because he was going to leave his record label. Then he canceled Mace because Mace didn't want to perform in his freak-off parties. Now Ben Affleck is divorcing Jennifer Lopez because of things about to come out for what she did when she dated Diddy years ago. And apparently it was pretty bad. And Jay-Z may or not be the actual ringleader of all of this.
All right, okay. I guess I should label this one on why do I say fuck Diddy? Yeah, a lot to process. I guess I could Google one of them. Let me look up Diddy. Okay, you know what? Fuck it. I'm gonna wait for the facts to come out. To the news comes out. But from what I'm hearing, the word on the street is shit ain't good for Puffy. One lawyer said that, yo, if he mooned a judge, he'd have a better chance. Escaping jail than the shit that all the details they have on this guy. But yeah, here we are. Okay, you know what? At least we got something even more entertaining. Okay. Last week, I talked about Mark Robinson. Let's see. Yes, I can play it. Okay, so the story goes, Mark Robinson refused tech experts' offer to help him disprove CNN bombshell reports.
By Sarah K. Boris. Republican Lieutenant Governor Mark Robinson, NC, was offered help from internet technology experts who were willing to look through the racist messages that he allegedly posted on a pornographic website to determine if they were genuine or were fake using artificial intelligence technology. but Robinson denied their offers and WRAL reported it on Monday, although the campaign also denied that the candidate was offered IT help of any kind. That is entirely false, spokesperson Mike Lonergan said. Lieutenant Governor Robinson is in the process of retaining aggressive legal counsel to investigate who did this and how. We will leave no stone unturned and will use every legal means to hold CNN and whomever else is involved accountable. Read also, some folks need killing, Mark Robinson's 13 most extremist controversies and scandals. Robinson immediately rejected the CNN report as an attempt by political opponents to bring him down. He released a video denying the allegations and promised voters that they know his true character. Over the weekend, Robinson's senior staff resigned en masse, and the refusal to accept help may have contributed to this, reported WRAL. When he refused help, it sowed doubt among the staff, according to WRAL's sources. It is a little over a month before the November election, and Robinson said he's trying to rebuild his staff. Meanwhile, he's looking for ways to sue CNN, he told voters in Wilkes County. He explained that he's considering everything up to legal counsel to take CNN to task for what they have done to us. We are going after them. The Republican Governors Association canceled its support ads to help elect Robinson, indicating they have given up on the race. Robinson alleges he's the victim of a high-tech lynching. Read the full report here.
Let me Google the name Mark Robinson, see where we're at. Because this was September 23rd and we're the 26th. Okay, if I Google the name Mark Robinson, Mark Robinson, top staff to resign, follow CNN. I'm just reading the headlines, exclusive. Okay, look, okay, this the latest headline that I saw was staff, he's got no staff, probably just has like the the sycophant, is that the word? The ones who'll follow him to his death. You know, the Kool-Aid drinkers. And then there's, what's the other thing I heard about is how, well, it's more, okay, I mean, the article confirms it. An accusation. Basically, CNN's got a report saying, hey, we've associated, we've done our research. Your username, Mini Soldier, is associated to your email address. Sure, you can talk about how you were hacked, but there's a lot of the shit that's been said. We can't associate, like, talk about his wife, it's whatever. There's a lot of shit that says that paints a picture that it's you. Right? Like, I have an account on Reddit that I don't share with y'all. And every time I type shit, I'm like, not that I type, but whatever. Anytime I type shit, I'm like, I'm worried people could associate. If someone did their research, they could fill a profile and be like, yeah, that's you. I'm sure an AI bot could figure it out. But the thing is, once you get my email address, it's so if his account was hacked, it's like, yo, send in the technology people and have them do whatever. Have them do the scrubbing. There's two reasons I laughed. The first reason is, one is because he's like, nah, fuck these tech experts. I'm getting some lawyers. Bro, you're guilty. Two is how maybe the reasons why, yeah, maybe the tech folks told him, look, this is how much we can guarantee. And he's scared to gamble. Nah, you know what? That nigga did that shit, man. Because I was trying to imagine, because that's what I do. I have a strong imagination. Trying to imagine a scenario to why he wouldn't accept their help. Because when I was sold these niggas, it's kind of like I cheat on my girl. No, worse. No, even better than that, right? I get accused. Okay, that's a bad example. I was going to say, some dude accuses me of cheating on my girl. And instead of taking the time of explaining to my girl how this is bullshit, I'm going to beat the shit out of the dude who made the accusation. Yo, he did that shit, man. That's all I'm going to say. Nigga, you did that shit. Come on, man. Just come out. I mean, no, I understand why he won't come out and say it. So we might want to put him on suicide watch. All right. Okay. One last point before we get to final thoughts. How does this one go? Yeah, okay. This one is deeper. This one, we're going to get a little deep. It's one of those posts on TikTok that made me think. And I'm expecting it to do that. It'll do the same for you, for you as well. And here, as soon as I find it, here we go.
What do you consider to be the definitive symptom of childhood trauma?
I think for a lot of us, it's about trying to get a difficult person to be good to us in our adulthood.
Wait, say that again. Say that again. That is so important. Say that again.
A definitive symptom of childhood trauma is about trying to get a difficult person to be good to us.
Okay, so that's it. Right. I mean, that right there, if we stop the show here, you're just giving us the wisdom for the ages, right? Because it's that. It's trying to get a difficult person to be good to us. So many people in this community not only endured this in childhood, tried to get the parent to love them, but then went through a series of relationships in adulthood where the entire relationship was about getting that dysfunctional, harmful, difficult, toxic person to be good to them.
Why are we trying to get a difficult person to be good to us? One is, like you just mentioned, it's familiar. We will spend a lifetime in patterns of relationships, whether it's a boss or a partner or friends. These are the patterns that I see for people who grow up with a difficult parent. There's lack of sense of self in there. The missing ingredients is like our own goodness and our own power. So I think when we wake up and we start doing this work where we start to look at narcissistic relationships or the thing where we find ourselves in them, is the turning point is when people kind of go, F this. I'm never going to win with this level of difficulty. And why am I doing it? Why am I compelled to keep doing this dance with somebody who just sets me up for failure?
Join the Dr. Romani Network today.
I'm laughing at how I play free shit on this podcast. Yes. Thank you for covering that, Dr. Romani. I am not affiliated with this content creator. I just heard some shit that I appreciate, that I enjoyed. But I am telling you, you know, if you like what you hear, if you like what you heard, by all means, check it out. But there's no, I'm not endorsed or anything like that. You know, shout out to you content creators who spread like little gold nuggets like that out there. But yeah, I know. When I was listening to this thing, and I was reflecting on how, well, hey, first thought that came to mind is I never considered myself a traumatized child. But one thing is for sure is I hate to admit it, man. I was a fragile child. I was kind of fragile. I was kind of like, I say fragile, but shit impacted me differently. Getting beaten by the belt did not make any corrections. Did not make me into a better person. But the second thing I was thinking about is how I remember a time where I used to believe that my skill set was dealing with difficult people. Now, when I say dealing with them, it's just essentially just taking the abuse, just like a sponge. But in my mind, I was telling myself that I was the vessel of God. I was the vessel God was using to show them his love. And I was, I think a part of me naively believed that I was helping them improve. But deep down inside, I was just a punching bag. Oblivious of the fact that I was just a budget bag. There was no cure. There was no whatever. Anyway, so after years of that, I blame Christianity for that. Part of it. I blame Christianity. But after years of that and then realizing that, wait, what? It was all for nothing? This was all bullshit? Now I'm like, not paranoid, but I'm not a fan of relationships. I'm very selective these days. But you know, in my older age, I'm learning to be more mindful, more selective about the people I allow in my life. Cause some folks aren't looking for friendship, aren't looking for relationships. They're looking for outlets. There's a lot of like unhealthy people. It's not the world likes wants to believe that it's the folks that are in therapy that are unhealthy. Fuck it. A majority, the people who are in therapy are the ones who are like reached the point where we're tired of the people who should be in therapy. I'm thinking of a particular friend who, no, that's not true. A few friends have the way they talk like. One of my pet peeves, because this goes back to why I got to be selective about the people who I call friends. We're not friends if I don't tell you about, my therapy sessions. But, I'm learning to. I'm doing on this mic to a bunch of strangers. Yeah, sure. But I'm learning to, well, there's a different purpose. That's why. But I'm learning to be more careful about who I disclose my therapy sessions to. Because some people just look at it as, oh, okay. So when do you think you're going to be fixed? I'm like, fuck. Have you looked in the motherfucking mirror? But anyway, it's annoying. It's kind of annoying. But anyway, so getting back to the point of difficult people. Yeah, no, it's, I'm guilty of trying to please a difficult person only to make my life harder than it already is. All right, okay, so I guess this concludes User Random Thoughts. I am not going to speak on, I'm just going to be honest with you, gang, with you guys. I'm not going to speak about Marcellus Williams, the lynching of Marcellus Williams. I've been very, like, I know the story. He was like executed by the state. Was it Missouri? And it's not the first time. It's not my first rodeo. There's a black man and the public is like contributed. It's like, yo, look at all this new evidence. And for whatever the fuck reasons, they're like, nah. We murdering this nigga. Look, there's a lot of fucked up shit in the world, and I used to think that I needed to budget my anger. Now I need to budget the shit that makes me sad. Because it's just so easy for me to spiral into, I want to use depression, but I'm going to go with sadness to a just. So I'm just going to leave it as no words. You can look it up. In the other link section, I just shared a thought about Marcellus Williams. The only thing I'm actually near tears. The only thing that I admire about, I mean, this dude was the strength, the courage he still had, knowing that he was approaching his death. Like, there's a clip that I saw. It's not in the show notes, but you can look it up. But he's just talking about how, yo, whatever happens, happens, man. Whether because he was still waiting, because there was a chance that he was going to be exonerated or something. But he was just saying, the equivalent of, I'm not keeping my hopes up, but I am not also giving up. And essentially is, whatever God chooses for me, said Allah, but whatever Allah chooses for me, I'll accept that decision. And it just had me thinking of, as much as I talk shit about religion, I don't think I would have that kind of courage to. I'm hoping when my time comes and I can see it, if I can see it, like if it's not instant, that I have that kind of like, that kind of bravery. Shit's depressing. Shit is depressing, eh? So much for a comedy podcast, but yeah. All right, okay, that's it. This is it for User Random Thought. Let's jump to final thoughts. Before I explain what's up with today's title, let me give you some context. In my last therapy session, I had a moment where I was reflecting on, I forget what we were talking about, and the thought, two thoughts came to mind, came out. A familiar thought came to mind. It's like, I don't know who I am. Who am I? Just in the middle, I was, you know, therapist was saying something, and who am I? But I've always found myself saying, be who the fuck are you? And and I realized that the only time I'm able to I'm able or willing to identify anything about me, about my identity, acknowledge something about my identity, it's when it's negative. Okay, now I remember. Okay. What caused me to think about who I was is because there was a period in my time where I was convinced I was a nice person. I was a kind child. Because, you know, my parents, every once in a while, would be like, he's a good boy. Well, maybe not my parents, but more their friends. Yeah, he's a good child. He's a good child. He's a bon garçon. He's a conduit bien. He's, what's the word they use for kids when they're like, when he behaves himself. That was my trait. And it evolved to being a nice person. And then a lot of being a nice person is, well, being a nice guy. I was convinced I was a nice guy. Like, so nice. Like, that was the most attractive trait I had. Matter of fact, I remember going after this girl and believing that my niceness would be, is what, giving her, putting her in situations where she'd be like, oh, you're such a sweet guy. Oh, you're good. Oh, you're such a nice guy. You're not like the rest. I was convinced I would get into her heart with my kindness. And then, then that went to, yeah, but I like you as a friend. Which then evolved into, oh, chicks only dig, they don't like nice guys, they only dig bad boys, and shit like that. And evolved into that bullshit. And then finally, it hit me. I don't know, so a bunch of circumstance, series of circumstance happened, and it hit me, and I realized that, dude, you're not a nice guy. when you were being nice to this girl because you thought it was your way, you would manipulate your way into her heart, you were not being nice. Like, at the time, I had no idea this the girl I was speaking about. Well, I guess, yeah, at the time, I had no idea her friendship. When she offered her friendship, it was a valuable, I dismissed it. I'm trying to get some puss, I'm trying to get some booty, bitch. But at the time, I didn't realize that, just because she didn't find me attractive, someone else would. Do you know what I mean? Okay. So I dismissed the exchange, right? But anyway, fast forward. Actually, I'm gonna credit this comedian who made a joke about. Okay, I'm not going to this long journey, but it had me reflect about the concept of the friend zone. Long story short, but by the time that I realized that the concept of a friend zone was bullshit, was just some shit that incel, whack ass dudes created to manipulate girls into, or to men who just simply can't walk away, can't take it or leave it. It was a concept that was created. It was bullshit. That's my point. But while realizing that the concept of friend zone was bullshit, it's when I realized that I was never a nice person. I was never a nice guy. I gave people the illusion I was nice. I mean, as a child, you know, I remember, you know, getting beat. And that was enough that one time, and to be like, okay, from it was enough for me. I hated it so much, but it was enough to like for me to my psyche to be like, okay, what do I need to do to be on your good side? What do I need to do to not be yelled at, to not get hit, to not be, to not make you angry? Okay, you need me to be nice, then fuck it. That's what I'll do. That's what I'll do. I was reading the book. I finished reading the book about the road to Jonestown, about the cult leader, not Donald Trump, Jim Jones and People's Temple. And there was a part where he talks about his childhood and how he had all these adults convinced that he was a good kid. But I reminded, like, the way, the things I was reading is because it was important for him to be seen in a good light. But I related to that as a, doing that as a child. Like, don't get me wrong, I wasn't killing cats or anything like that. I was just presenting the favorable image to adults, so, or to people, so I would not get on their bad side, because I was just at a huge fear of feeling people's wrath. So that evolved into this whole niceness, right? And so ever since that point where I realized that I'm not a nice guy, it set me on a trajectory of that if I'm not nice, who the fuck, what am I? And I guess people are complicated. It's not, you just not just, sure, I do nice thing, I can do nice things. I'm empathetic. I'm peaceful. I'm friendly. You know what I mean? I don't give people reasons to, I'm fair and all that shit. But I have my moments where I could be negative, right? I think I mentioned this on the last episode about how there's a quote by Talon Macy where he says, whether you see my horns or my wings depends on your disposition. Like, I've reached a point where I'm willing to accept that I'm someone's villain in their story. And 9 times out of 10, it has nothing to do with me. I was in traffic this today, and I was taking my time to get on the ramp because I couldn't see well, right? And cars were passing me by, and I hadn't noticed there was a big gap I could have gone in, and but I didn't take it. And I could hear the guy behind me, beep! I'm like, yeah, I'm the villain to that person. For that brief moment, I was their villain. At first, I was willing, sorry. I'm like, man, fuck you, man. Fuck that. I'm not getting my insurance raised because you're fucking impatient. Go suck your mother. Anyways, yeah. But I've reached a point where worry about the opinion you have on your own self. But anyway, so I say all this just so I can give you context to what I'm about to play about funny people, because I so agree with this. Yes. I will get to the point of today's episode, the title. Well, again, I'm giving you context. But here, where is it? Here we go.
Here's something you really need to know. In general, funny people are not nice people. I do not mean that every comedian or every comedy writer has some secret scandal. I don't mean that they are evil or immoral. But they are usually not nice. And when we meet somebody and they make us laugh, we tend to think, wow, what a nice guy. This is because in social situations, humor can be a replacement for niceness. So a lot of us learn to be funny because we struggle with being nice. In everyday interaction, humor actually creates a distance with the person you're talking to. It creates a barrier between you. Because the dynamic is not an exchange, but rather performer and audience. Because it is a performance, you're basically creating a fake version of yourself that can go out and do interactions for you. So if you come up to me and ask me how work is going, and I give you a joke or a funny story, look at what I've just done there. Instead of letting you in and giving you an honest answer, I have instead given you a performance. I sent out the clown version of myself to do the interaction for me. And it works. People walk away from that interaction feeling good. Everyone enjoys laughing, and they won't notice that they didn't actually find out anything about you. And the people who are best at doing this, generally, if you go just a little bit deeper, you will find a darkness waiting. And I repeat that in situations like that, I do not mean that on the inside they are always mean or cruel or callous. It may just be insecurity or anxiety or trauma. But the point is that we always act shocked when we find out that a funny person maybe isn't so nice behind the scenes, when that's actually the mechanism. That's why they became a funny person. They may still be good people. All of my friends are comedy writers. You just have to know what you're getting into going in.
Deep. I should have mentioned that I saw this clip before I had the thought about being about questioning who am I, before that therapy session. I remember seeing this clip. Oh, shit. Fuck. Anyone who heard the last episode knows that I was going to cover it on the last episode, but chose to save it for this. It's just a surprise that I made it the final thought. And, yeah. So, heard this clip about being, everything he said, like, I could relate to it, especially the part where he says about trauma, insecurity, and anxiety. Yeah, behind that laughter, it's all that. It's a distraction. Now, I am not saying, no, I'm not planning world domination. Well, you're laughing at me, Black. but it's true, man. You know, it's so easy for me to feel uncomfortable around people, and my shield has always been using comedy. You know what? The more I think about it, and it's part of the reason why I've held off on doing comedy, because I'm reflecting on, are you performing or are you hiding? What exactly, what's going on up there? Anyway, so, yeah, no, I hear that, dude. So I was, yeah, again, who am I? still figuring that out. So therapy session, who am I? And again, reminder, on this podcast, I'm not here to offer solutions. I think about solutions, but I am not trying to answer the questions in your life. I'm hoping that you're like, okay, how do I fix it? Nah, this is to the river. Like, you got to figure out the rest. This is just, if you can get to it yourself, if you can get far enough to acknowledge that, okay, I do resemble some of these traits, then maybe you're closer to a solution. But for me, it's being able to speak out, to speak about it out loud, I guess, brings me closer to a solution or to resolutions or whatever. You can't fix what you don't face. So all this to say, today's title was part of the reason why I'm recording a little late is I was scrambling on today's on a title. For those who know, I like to use rap lyrics or rap song for poetry and recite it as poetry. And usually I use a part of the verse as the title. My Name Is My Name came to mind. Imagine Me by Kirk Franklin came to mind, because I love the part where he says, let me recite that for you real quick. He says, imagine me. He goes, yeah, thank you for allowing me to see myself the way you see me. Thank you. And he goes, imagine me loving what I see when the mirror looks at me, because I imagine me in a place of no insecure, and I'm finally happy because I imagine me. So, yeah, I'm hoping to get to a point where I can look in the mirror and finally be able to acknowledge, well, you got that going for you. Well, you know what? Sure, you're fat, but that's a lot of mass. I don't know. You'll be able to feed people when you die. I don't know. Whatever. You know what I mean? Anyways, to be continued on that one. Yeah. With all that said, oh, right, before I finish, before I wrap up, just a quick thing, too. If you go to shutuppodcast.com, you'll notice the website is slightly changed. That's because I am moving away from, I'm stepping into the future. I'm moving away from web hosting and going to a dedicated podcast host. And the name of the company is Castos. Is that what that's case for? Yeah, Castos. And if I'm mentioning their name, is because the people involved are, I mean, it's not cheap. It wasn't cheap. But the people involved, working support, have been making my journey. they've been holding my hand through the process, and I'm kind of grateful. I was a little worried because I was a little worried at the beginning how they were very helpful. I was worried that the support and help that they were giving me while I was on the free trial was going to be a lot different once they locked me in. Like, once the honeymoon was, like, I was worried that I was in the honeymoon phase. And so far, nah, man, these folks have been very helpful in helping me transition from web hosting to podcast host. It hasn't been easy because I've been hurt before. What I mean before is I've rushed into decisions and regretted it. In this particular case, I'm going, like, taking my time doing it. But all this to say, the website's going to change. Well, you're not going to notice the huge difference, right? Website's going to change, and Shut Up Podcast will take you to shutuppodcast.castos.com. You'll see it. You'll see it. You'll see it. But yeah. So I guess in another way, I guess I'm saying Shut Up Podcast, the whole podcast is powered by Castos. And Castos, yeah. And yeah, it's been an it's interesting, man. More to come. More to come. You know, I'm yeah, more to follow. All right. This concludes today's episode. Like always, check out the show notes for everything that I've discussed on the episode and the other links. Just cool links worth checking out. And yeah, I usually go from serious to less serious, the order, the way they put them in. As always, email address is shutuppodcast@411@gmail.com. Got any thoughts? And as always, thank you for listening. And remember, please be kind to your favorite podcast. All right, peace.